Welcome to the second week of If You're Happy and You Know It. I know it's a silly title, but I hope that it makes you smile. Even if it frustrates you because you hate the song, you can watch little kids sing it and know that it is a joy to watch a small child sing that song because they're so full of life. And really, that's my heart for you through this series. The series is really based out of Psalms 1. This was the passage the Lord gave me in preparing for this series. And I'm going to go ahead and read at least the first few verses, the first three verses of Psalms chapter 1. Here it is. It says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night." And my heart for you is that as you pursue God, you realize that His word to you is good, and that you meditate on it day and night. Consistency is the key to so much in life. And one of the things that we see throughout Scripture of all the great men and women of God is that they were consistent. And I want us to be consistent in delighting in the law of the Lord, meditating on it both day and night. And then it says, "They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." And what I want to speak about today is bearing fruit in each season. My heart for you is that you are always fruitful. How do you live fruitful? How are you always fruitful? Last week I briefly shared, but I also want to share just, I want to read the scripture that we see Jesus and how He's talking about how we're to be in season all the time. In Mark chapter 11, it says, "As they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off, so He went over to see if He could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit." Like, was Jesus ignorant? Did He not know that it was too early for fruit? No! He's doing this, painting a picture for His disciples and for us. "Then Jesus said to the tree, 'May no one ever eat fruit from you again.' And the disciples heard Him say it, and He knew that too. The next morning, as they passed by the fig tree He had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots up. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree of the previous day and exclaimed, 'Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died.' And Jesus said to His disciples, 'Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart.'" This is a faith principle that all our life, all the time, we are called to both be in season and to plant seed. And let me just say that you planting a seed, like you do, you reap what you sow, but it's not always in exactly the same manner. I do think that there's an aspect of you, like my wife and I have sowed a few things, cars, guitars, homes. But so many people think, well, like a great example is, well, I'm going to be in season all the time, so I'm going to keep sowing. And it's sowing every area of your life where God's blessed you. But a lot of people will be like, well, I'm gonna sow money. And so they go, I've got some money. I'm going to put it in here. I've put money in there. What's a whole big wad of it? I know it's a silly voice. I'm just being goofy. But then they expect that one moment of planting a seed, they're going to reap something. First of all, just because you're planting money doesn't mean you're going to get money. In fact, if you go take actual money and put it in the dirt, it's not going to grow a money tree. It's going to grow fruit. But from that fruit, you can sell it. You can eat it to live on. You can sell it to make more money. But let me just say that just as, you know, I sowed that once, let me tell you what's better than just you one time going, oh, here it is. Like, whatever it is that you're sowing, that you're going, okay, and today, and tomorrow, and the day after, and the next month, and the next week, and the next person that's in need. I'm putting all this rain, I'm just sowing all of that. We are continually sowing seed so that we are continually in a fruitful season. Jesus, by this very example out of Mark chapter 11, shows us that we are to continually and always bear fruit. Are you? Am I constantly sowing godly seeds? Am I doing that? As a pastor, you see people at their best and at their worst. You get to see the marriages. You get to see the loss and funerals. You get to see the baby dedications. You get to see families break apart. You see all of it. And there are many things that are unexpected and many things outside of our control. But this we know, that if you continue to day by day
plant seeds of the Spirit, that's what you reap. And whatever it is.
And that's why it says, and go back to Psalms chapter 1, they delight in the Lord and they meditate on it day and night. Like a tree planted by a riverbank, they're bearing fruit in each season and their leaves never wither. I want that for you. I want that for me. This is why we are called to plant godly seeds, seeds of the Spirit, not the flesh.
Have you ever found yourself in a situation where something happens and you say something?
It's probably not from the Spirit. I'll never forget some good friends of ours. We were on a trip to Houston with them, and I'm driving, and my friend's right to the right of me, and my wife and the other friend are in the back, and we almost get in a wreck ourselves and witness this crazy wreck where this guy in a Mercedes just flies by us, cuts right in front of us, and smashes into another big truck hauling a trailer, not an 18-wheeler, but like a big truck hauling a trailer that looked like landscaping stuff on it. And then the guy just runs over, hits another person, and takes off down the road. But as soon as they came in front of us, smashed our friend in the back. I mean, she dropped a pretty big curse word. It was pretty awful. It was pretty epic. And then after, we ended up in a high-speed chase and worked with the cops. It was kind of fun. But after it all calms down, she apologizes. She says, "Well, I don't know where that came from." I started laughing. I was like, "I knew." It came from your heart, because Jesus says, we see it twice in the gospel. He says, from an overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so often things will catch us by surprise. And we're like, "Oh, I didn't mean that. Where did that come from?" Because it's our mouth that reveals what's going on inside of us. And so, look, we've all been in those situations. I'm not throwing shade saying, "Oh, look at you." I'm saying, let's be intentional about planting seeds of the Spirit and ripping up the roots of the flesh in our life. I want to turn to Galatians chapter 5. I love this passage of Scripture. It's so good. Verses 16 through 25. As I want to answer the question, how can I grow spiritual fruit? How can we do this? And I think this passage of Scripture, it really gives us a really good idea of what that practically looks like. And let me just say, I love the practical aspect of the gospel. I've said this for years, that information without application, when it comes to the Bible, information without application is heresy. And I think we see a lot of heretics that can quote Scriptures, but they're not walking it out. That's heretical. That's saying, "Oh, this is true, but you're not living by the truth." It's foolishness and it's flesh. Galatians 5, 16. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil." This is where those curse words come from. This is where flipping somebody off in traffic comes from. This is where that desire to reach across the counter, whether it's at a fast food restaurant or the DMV, and shake somebody heartily. "The sinful nature wants to do evil," which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. The two forces are constantly fighting each other. Okay, time out. I don't have to apologize for the internal conflict, because part of that sin nature that's there is part of this world. And, there's this fight. There's always going to be the fight. The question is not, am I bad because of the fight? No, the fight is the fight. But we have to know how to win the fight. It says, "These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under the obligation to the law of Moses." What was that obligation under the law of Moses? In other words, here's the rule. You got to follow it. You better follow that. By golly, if you don't, it's going to be damnation for you. See, that's the law. There's condemnation. But the Spirit's the opposite of that. When we let the Holy Spirit guide our lives, we don't even have to worry about the law, because we know that we are allowing God's Spirit to direct us and not our flesh. It's the story of the old guy that had two dogs. He had a black dog and a white dog, and he would hit the dog fighting circuit, and every weekend he was going fight those two dogs. And he'd always bet on the dogs, and sometimes the black dog would win, sometimes the white dog would win. But every time he made a winning bet, one of the other young guys that had been watching this and realizing this man knows which dog's going to win every time. And so he goes to him and says, "Sir, how do you know?" Like, how? I mean, you were making tons of money. How do you know which dog's gonna win? If you're betting on the white dog, that white dog gonna win. If you're betting on the black dog's gonna win. How do you know?
The man looked at him and said, "Son, it's real easy. I know which dog is gonna win because it's the one that I feed that day."
Are you gonna sow seeds of the flesh where you give into that? Are you gonna give up that flesh and live by the Spirit?
He goes on to say, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. We know what they are. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasure, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Basically, everything that sometimes we want to do, that's the sinful nature. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God.
See, that seems pretty harsh, doesn't it? And it's also very logical. If I'm living by my fleshly desires, how am I ever going to fulfill the desires of God in my life? And if the desires of God in my life are not being fulfilled in my life, neither am I. You want to live a fulfilled life? Give it up.
That's why Jesus said, hey, if you want to gain life, you got to lose it.
Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. Everybody wants to be loved, and everybody loves it when somebody comes and affirms and values and celebrates them. Everybody likes that.
Nobody's like, please don't celebrate me. Please don't point out my good qualities. Please. The people that shun that are so unhealthy, they can't even see how unhealthy they are, because
it is part of human nature that we are designed to be loved. That's we want that. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace. Do you want joy? This is a fruit of sowing seeds of the Spirit.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. No, nobody is saying, you're too kind, sir. You're too patient.
No, because the fruit of this world and our flesh is very obvious. It's selfish. It's mean. It's destructive. But the fruit of the Spirit brings love, joy, peace, life.
It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. How do we grow spiritual fruit? Very simple. Not always easy. Remember, the idea, we're going to put a man on the moon. That is a very simple concept. Very simple concept. It is not necessarily so easy to do, but it is doable, as we've seen.
How do we grow spiritual fruit? How do we sow those seeds? Well, here's the first thing. We have to crucify the flesh. And I lay my will, my way down. This is the example that we see in Jesus, the creator of the universe. God demonstrated his own love towards us. This is Romans 5:8. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
I want to follow Jesus. Like, life's going to be good. Well, it's going to be purposeful. It's going to be fulfilling. There'll be joy even in the difficult seasons. You'll be bearing fruit, but it's really a call to come and die.
Jesus says that if we're going to follow him, we have to be willing to take up our cross and follow him. In other words, following Jesus is the death of my flesh, my will, my way. And it's not something that he's not demonstrated first. I tell my children all the time, listen, I'm never going to ask you to do something that I wouldn't do and that I haven't already done. And God's a way better father than we are, than I am. And Jesus is saying, follow me, and I'll never ask you to do something I wouldn't do or haven't done. But we have to be willing to lay down ourselves, because the root of what God's calling us to is him, and God is a selfless and loving God. And we have to be willing to sow seeds of selflessness and love, which is, I'm more concerned with your well-being than my own. That's the essence of love. How do I sow spiritual seeds? You crucify your flesh.
The next thing is you have to really reset your mind. You have to reset your mind. In Romans chapter 8, here's what we see. Paul's writing to the church in Rome. He says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, they think about sinful things. That's selfish things, desires our flesh wants, we want, and our base desire, our instinctual level. You hit me, I'll hit you. You did me wrong, I'll do you wrong. I want to fulfill my flesh. Everybody else, it doesn't matter. We all have that. But those who are dominated by that sinful nature, they think about those things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit.
Is my mindset this? Lord, I want to please you. See, I think sometimes we need a reset, because all we do is watch the world, whether it's on a screen or through people that are living far from God. It is very easy to think that the world is all about getting what I want. Let me see what I can get out of it. But that's the opposite of how Jesus lived. And that's the opposite of the Spirit, that we're called to lay down our life, to take up our cross and follow Jesus as he did the same. I have to reset my mind.
Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Is what I'm thinking pleasing God? So often, do my actions please God? That's our mindset. Do my actions please God? Just remember that when you're sowing seeds, they begin with a thought. Because thoughts turn into actions. Actions become deeds that we're known by. Deeds become character. Character will ultimately determine our destiny. The seed of a thought that pleases God, everything that we think should please him, not just what we say. So it goes from thoughts to words to deeds to character to destiny. I need to control this. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, it talks about taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This is the root of where we must recognize that I'm going to sow good seeds. I can't think bad thoughts.
That seems extreme, doesn't it? And we take things to the extremes, we'll oftentimes find truth.
If I think about nothing but bad, what is my life going to be like? If I think the worst about every situation and every person that I know, what will my life be like? Miserable. Conversely, if I think the best about every person and every situation, how's my life going to be? See, there's truth in that, taking things to the far extremes. Here's my question. Do your thoughts please God?
I'm going to read on.
So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Oh, that's one extreme. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace.
Oh, you've just been brainwashed.
Yep. Let me just say, my brain needed to be washed and still needs a regular cleansing. And that's why it says meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. Consistency wins. And I don't want to just like once, like that wad of money. Once I gave a whole bunch or I gave my life to the Lord. But just as you're living right now, it's a moment by moment, not a one-time moment. Crucify the flesh, reset your mind. And then back to Galatians 5, we got to walk by the Spirit. We have to let the Holy Spirit control our lives. Verse 16, Galatians 5:16. Let's see if I can find it. I know what it says. The version that I memorized, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Are you letting the Holy Spirit guide your life? That's really the crux of living a life full of joy that bears fruit in every season. That, yeah, I'm not going to hang around with sinners and scoffers. That's Psalms chapter 1. I'm not going to live by the advice. I'm not even going to listen to the advice of the wicked. I'm going to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. I want to be planted by the river of life, because I know that when I do that, that my life's not going to wither and everything that I do is going to prosper. How do I bear fruit in every season? I plant consistently seeds of the Spirit. By crucifying my flesh, by living in the place of having my mind reset and renewed moment by moment. And I take every thought captive, that's 2 Corinthians 10:5. I'm taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ so that I can live by the Spirit and that my mind and what I think on is pleasing to God. How do I produce good fruit? Crucify the flesh, live with a renewed mind, walk by the Spirit of God. That's how you do it. Proverbs 11:30 says this, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Because at the end of the day, bearing fruit is not about personal fulfillment. It's about the people around me that God wants to reach with the message of hope and life and deliverance through Christ, through me. If I'm walking by the Spirit, he's always going to lead me to places where he can shine through me to the people around me. This is how the darkness is extinguished and the light is brought into this world. God uses us. And maybe you've been at the place where you've sown some pretty bad seeds. Great. Hand them over. Open your heart. Rip out those seeds of darkness and sin and hand them to Jesus. Here they are. He'll destroy them. And commit today to let him have unfettered access to the soil of your soul
and that you choose by crucifying your flesh, by choosing Jesus, choosing to crucify your flesh, choosing to see your mind set on Him and walking by His Spirit, you can know this. You live that out, I promise you. You live that out. Put it to the test. Put it to the test for the next month and see what happens when you say, I'm only going to think thoughts that are pleasing to God because the soil of my soul has, my heart's been opened, unfettered access by God to the soil of my soul. Jesus, you plant your seeds. And if that's you, say, that's me. I need to open my heart, let Jesus rip out some bad seed and let Him plant some good seed. And I'm going to start planting good seed. If that's you, just pray with me. Say, dear Jesus, I open my heart, my soul to you. Forgive me for all of those horrible, sinful things I've held on to, whether it's unforgiveness or bitterness or the things that I've done. Jesus, I give them to you. Rip them out by the roots, Jesus. I give you all of me. Father, I just pray right now that they prayed that prayer, that in this moment that you speak to them and they can sense ripping away of the old and an installation of that new spirit because of you, Jesus. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let us know. I want to see you grow and go in the strength of Christ, surrounded by people that love you and have a heart for you. So let us know what happened. You know how to do that. You can find it on the website. It's probably a link in the chat underneath. Just connect. I want to see you grow. I want to see you next time too. So hope you tune back in. God bless.